the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to brandhanson.com.
Maybe you're like this. Maybe you know somebody like this. I met a guy the other day, and he just says, "You know what? I'm not an atheist. I'm not a Christian. I'm not even agnostic because I don't care. Just don't care. It doesn't make a difference."
Is that possible?
I don't know.
Okay.
I actually, of course, have this theory that everybody deep down knows there's a God, but we repress it to some different levels. But that's all that's to say. I respect where he's coming from. I'm like, okay. Just doesn't matter. And I'm like, okay, let me go over your bio a little bit. How much suffering?
Mm-hmm.
Not much. Because people who go through suffering, it matters. It sorts things out real quick. A lot of funerals. What do you get to say? Funeral of your own family member. What do you get to say? You go through being oppressed and you have to forgive. Like, what do you got to say? But if you don't, I mean, and you can distract yourself for a while. I get that. Man, I can do it too. It's a service that we offer here on the program. It's miming the news. I'm an accomplished mime. Before
you haven't
you're
done
like,
this for a while.
Before you're like, well, you can't even mime on the radio. It's impossible.
Au contraire.
You haven't seen this. So,
and you still won't see it because it's the radio.
I'm wearing full mime regalia, black beret. I got the white makeup on, the little crosses over the eyes. I got the white gloves, a slightly too tight shirt with the horizontal striping.
Your makeup's impeccable.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've been
working
on it.
That takes
time
at mime school. Okay, so here's the story I'm going to mime. Actual true story happened in Romania. The guy's okay, all right?
Okay.
But he collapsed. An ambulance picks him up. So this is what I'm about to mime. An ambulance picks up a man who wakes up in the ambulance, gets agitated, jumps out of the ambulance before they could stop him. And he darts across the road, and then he's hit by a car.
Oh, no.
Okay, so the ambulance just pulled around and picked him up again.
Okay.
And then, so he's okay.
He's okay.
He's going to be all right.
All right. That's important to know. Okay,
so
that you're going to mime all of that.
All of it.
Okay.
By myself.
Ready.
Okay, I'll be the ambulance, the EMTs, whatever.
Yeah, let us get it.
Okay,
we'll get it.
Here we go.
You're clearing your throat. Wow, man. So many characters. So many scenes.
I apologize for some of the violence.
Yeah, the terror that you had on your face as the person driving the car who hit the guy.
Yeah, I did the two hands on my cheeks thing where it's like, whoa. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
Exhausting. We call it a deal breaker. It's a question, like if you meet an awesome guy. Let's say you're a single woman. You meet an awesome guy. He's everything you ever wanted, but there's one quirk. So would that be a deal breaker if he's proposing marriage to you, but you're like, yeah, but that one thing. Even though he's awesome at everything.
In every other way, okay.
Just everything you ever wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for this, Lexi?
Yes.
Since you're married, you can speak into this a little bit, but imagine you're single again. This is a deal breaker question, and you meet the perfect guy. He's a gentleman, he's smart, he's spiritually mature, he's funny, he's good looking, he's all that stuff. He can fix things around the house. He's incredible. The only thing is, he will get a little shorter and a little younger every year, Benjamin Button style.
Oh, no.
So, he loses an inch a year, and he loses a year, so he gets a year younger. So after 10 years, he'll
be 10. Okay, so how tall? When I meet him,
he's 6 foot and 30. So in 10 years, he'll be a little shorter
and 20 years old.
He'll be 5'2 and 20. but he's still awesome.
Well, yeah,
he's still awesome. He's a little shorter now, but what, you know,
okay.
Would that be a deal breaker
That's
for
hard.
You?
Well, I'm 5 foot, so I mean, he can definitely lose a few inches.
Yeah,
but
yeah, okay. And age, are you okay with that? Because you're getting older and he's getting younger.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Right, yeah, I'm pretty creeped out by that.
But he's a great guy and he's asking you to look past that as he proposes.
I think I'm gonna have to say no.
You're gonna pass, okay.
Yeah.
Close minus. Wow.
It makes sense to me.
It hurts him. Is that a deal breaker?
Oh,
he's proposing. He's a great guy.
That's a deal breaker.
That's interesting because
you have to think through it. Yeah.
I know you, Cindy. You're not a tall person. I mean, and you're forthright about that.
Mm-hmm.
A little under 5 foot. Ultimately, as you're buckling him into his little seat in the car, and your eyes connect, and you know you've got a history together that goes back 30 years.
Clickety click, yeah. click.
His name is Jared. He listens to the program, and he asked for leadership tips. That's right. He came to me via email and said, hey, I need some leadership tips. I'm dealing with...
Why'd you know, do that?
That was my question.
I've never seen you put yourself out there as that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You have to put your leadership shingle out there. You don't do that.
Right. Maybe that's why. Okay. It's like, I'm going to ask the one guy who doesn't have a book about leadership.
What he thinks.
You know what? I told him, I don't know, mm-hmm. right? You're asking the wrong guy. But I did say, like, he's working with youth that is in high school. Like, you know this too. Sherry's mm-hmm. been a youth minister.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm just trying to learn. Oh, he's newly married.
Okay, all right.
Too. So in life, he's just like all these different areas. Like, I want to be a better leader. I'm like, dude, I don't know. I will say this, though. Just serve the people in front of you. Think, how can I be of service?
Mm-hmm.
How can I be loving towards this person who's in front of me? And whether people want to follow you or not, that's up to them. That's kind of my take. I know it's not going to sell many books.
That's not going to sell any books.
None even.
Nobody's going to buy
none.
That.
That's why I haven't written it. It only took one email. I think that I've largely found some people get followed,
mm-hmm.
some people don't, but just that's not the point. There's not a whole lot about leadership in the Bible about how to be a great leader. There's a whole lot about servanthood. So I would just go with that, and then if it winds up that people are following you some good place, then that's wonderful, but it's not the point. Thing about God is he's so good, we don't even realize it. We're not even aware of it. If you think, well, I enjoy God, but I also enjoy these other things. Nope. Those other things are there because of God.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Everything we enjoy, think about it. There's nothing separate from it. Well, okay, I don't believe in God, but I enjoy music. Mm-hmm. Yeah, music, food, friendship, everything. If we don't have to acknowledge it, but be good every now and then to at least acknowledge it. Everybody is welcome here to this program, regardless of what your background is and or your present stuff that's going on in your world right now. You feel like, well, I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. I'm certainly not religious enough for this radio station. A lot of people actually feel that way. I want you to know you're welcome. And then there are the Pharisees. And then there are the self-righteous people who just tend to be judgmental and just want you to know that you are welcome here as well.
And you would count yourself
totally. Oh my
goodness.
That's
in that exactly category.
Right.
That's what's interesting.
That's exactly right. I have a lot in common with you. And look, I know people who are like this, just naturally judgmental or pharisaical by nature. Maybe we were raised in church or with religion or whatever. But there's some people who aren't religious and they're very pharisaical. I mean, it's just like a personality type almost. I got it. I got a lot in common with you. And I know you have a lot of good intentions, too. Like, you want to protect what's right and true and good. I get it. I'm with you on that. But ultimately, God has to humble us. And if you've got even just a little strain of wanting that, just a little glint coming in the window there of, God, I do want you to humble me. I know at some level I'm this way. Like, that's great. Yeah, I think there's some beautiful days ahead. Just talking about being Pharisees by nature, which we are. I mean, I am especially, but a lot of people are.
Everybody has that self-righteous streak in them,
oh,
that prideful
yeah.
thing. I was at Bible study last night, and one of the ladies stood up, and she was talking about something she's going through, and she said this statement, which was so bracing because you don't hear people say it often. She said, I'm just so prideful.
Ha!
I'm so prideful. She kept going back to that. She said, and that was my issue. All the other things were stemming from that. And she said, until I was able to reach out to somebody and say, I have gotten myself into a mess. She said, I just knew it wasn't going to get better because I'm so prideful. And you don't hear people generally say that.
So refreshing. Unless it's backed up with, like, some of us will admit weaknesses, but like, that's just the way I am.
Right.
By golly.
By golly.
That's right. I'm a proud, whatever. Like,
but this, somebody literally go, no, this needs to be smashed. Mm-hmm. It's so rare and so refreshing. And clearly, I mean, everything I'm reading when I read the Bible, clearly God loves the honesty and the, just that glint of humility there somewhere. Brace yourself. I'm about to sound really impressive, I think.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, I'm trying to impress everybody. I'm gonna draw from a French guy, and it sounds cool. Jacques Ellul. Okay. I've been reading him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That I'm already impressed.
Come on.
Say no more.
Thank you. Just calling out my pretension before you can.
That's nice. I like that.
No, this guy's really, it's not fancy what he's saying, but he says something I think is really true, and I think you'll agree with it as you're listening to this. Maybe not. But he says our whole culture likes to pat itself on the back for being secular and scientific and beyond religion. And he's like, we live in the most religious time ever. Ooh. There are more mythologies, more things that people believe, more things that people put their faith in. He said, don't believe it for a second. It's a very religious time. He said, we believe in the myth of like progress, the myths about human nature, myths about how romance will bring us happiness and ultimately, you know, the one. Mm-hmm. The myths about success and success culture. We worship all this stuff. And they're all false gods, he says. So, and they don't work. That's the other thing, too. It's like, so we kind of want to be like, oh, we're beyond this, but we're not. Same old humans. Everybody's going to worship something. Another thing that's so wonderful about Jesus, his miracles. You'll know if you actually read about Jesus, not just believe the cartoon version that's out there about him, but read the Gospels. He never does any miracles just to go, check this out. I am about.
You ain't seen nothing
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, look at this. I'm going to see that building over there. Mm. I'm going to make it blow up. Like, he doesn't do anything like that just to impress people. It's healing. It's raising people from the dead. It's restoring things. And it's to show this is the way God really wants the world. So you see somebody who can't walk, and he restores their ability to walk. Like, this is the way God intended it. This is the way it was in Eden. This is the way it's going to be. He's like, look, this shows that the kingdom of God is here. And it gives us a glimpse of the future. All the stuff, all the sad things are going to come untrue. This is his plan. And I love that. Look how he uses his miracles. That'll tell you the plan for the world. This is going to be pretty awesome. It's called the Octagon of Knowledge. Who do we have on the phone?
Cindy.
Do you mind doing an Octagon of Knowledge where we step into an octagon and I, you know what happens in here? I dominate.
Yeah, sure.
All right,
okay,
sweet.
Good. She sounds Woo! Excited.
Here I come.
This is fun.
I'm wearing cool stuff like they do.
In the MMA. Sure.
And I have on like an Affliction t-shirt.
No, it's a unitard. It goes over
stuff.
One
wearing,
shoulder.
Why would I wear a unitard?
And then, I don't know, but this is what you've decided to wear with the boots that are real high.
Not wearing that.
Tied up to the knee.
Don't picture me with a unitard and those boots. I'm looking cool like those guys do.
Sure.
And, okay, so this is a showdown of knowledge. It's the first one to get three right wins. And here we go.
All right, here we go. This random trivia. Who wrote The Grapes of Wrath?
John Steinbeck.
Ooh. Cindy, are you there with us?
I am.
Okay, here's one. How many squares are there on a chessboard?
64.
Oh, yes.
Yep,
wow.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Here we go, guys. Which American state was the first to enter the Union on the 7th of December in 1787?
Delaware?
Yes.
Bam!
Oh,
man. 2-1.
Wow.
2-1. 2-1.
That's okay. Here we go. What country is Prague in?
Yeah. Czech Republic.
Czech Republic.
Bam!
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
there's,
oh,
there's
oh.
The
Hey, I'm so glad I got the checkerboard question. So.
Whatever. She's lying on the canvas.
Yeah, and he's dancing.
My arms
around.
Are upraised. The crowd.
The crowd is going crazy.
I have won the crowd. I have won my freedom.
What a show of knowledge.
Woo! Destroying one listener after another.
The
this
Brand
is
Hansen
the
show.
Brand Hansen show. This weekend, we're supposed to move our clocks up an hour.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm sure glad you mentioned that.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's for you.
Thank you.
I'm not going to do it. And let me tell you why. No, let me tell you why. Because I think at first you'll be like, oh, you're just whatever you do, Brent.
Just, yeah, that's certainly what I was thinking.
You always have to oppose everything.
In my head, I was thinking, oh, no. So why are you not doing it?
I guess I don't want life to go by that fast. I want to enjoy life, not just move the clock ahead an hour. And I want my life to last. And so I'll have an extra hour at the end
of your life
that you guys won't have. And I'm going to use it.
Yeah, but you don't move your
use
clock.
Use it to reflect.
You don't move your clock back either, do you? So it all kind of washes itself out.
As I live an hour longer than everyone else, I'm going to remember you guys fondly. I want you to know that. Hour that I have.
That's nice.
Probably go to the gym. Just there's no waiting. It'd be nice just to have.
Yeah, but you're about not to be here.
Nice not to have to wait to get to use the machines or anything. So anyway. Yeah, I'm just not going to enjoy that.
Okay, you're a man of principle.
Thanks. Brace yourself to be shocked. This is key. I want to be a success in my field, just like everybody wants to make me feel. Okay, so you got to be shocking and say things, but I can't believe you said that.
Yeah, yeah.
But see, we're rated G.
Yes, we are.
So it can't be anything like, I can't believe you got away with it. Like, it's going to be something that's just shocking that you'll go buzz about at the water cooler.
So you have determined to have alternative shock, which is that you
information
have facts.
That's just shocking.
Sure.
Shocking facts.
Are you supposed to announce shock, though? I'm still struggling with that. Like, I don't think you're supposed to. Okay,
well,
sorry.
No, it's fair. I think you can, but then you just it has to be that much more shocking when you say
when
it.
When you say it.
People are already ready to be shocked, all right? But this is true.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know this. You'll find this interesting as a Steelers fan.
Sure.
There was, for 1 year, a team called the Steagles, and it was the Steelers and Eagles combined into one team. It's true. That's a historical fact.
That's actually a decent fact.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was 1943. Yeah. It was because of the war. Like, a lot of guys, you know, they had to combine teams.
Yeah.
And they called them the Steagles.
Is this the best time to roll that fact out? Because sometimes you have to be able
I'm
to coordinate.
I'm trying to help you have some
facts.
Super Bowl shine. I'm trying to do.
But it's gone. Like,
yeah, but you were. At one point, you knew those guys.
Okay.
That's kind of thing. Anyway, kind of shocking. It's the Brant Hansen Show. If you want to tell people about where the shock came from.
Yeah, Brant Hansen.
That's what you heard on the Brant Hansen Show TM.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHansen.com.